May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our redeemer. Please be seated. Well, all the lessons, I guess, throughout Lent, and especially today, for me, resound. Be new. Be reconciled to God. And be like Jesus Christ, our Savior and our brother. And even the cults were asking God, give us this bread that he may live in us and we in him. So what does that mean exactly? For us to have communion, for us to have the bread of life, Jesus Christ in us. Well, it means that we're having forgiveness. We're having love. It means that we also give forgiveness. And we give love. That's what Jesus is all about. And then also for St. Paul, I love it because it kind of sets up for the gospel. I'm sure they did that on purpose. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Well, if we have Jesus Christ in us and living in us, then we no longer are to really think and act and be like the world, like typical human beings. We're different. We're new. We're loving. We're forgiving. We're merciful. And so when we look at people, we see them through the eyes of Christ. Because hopefully, if we have Jesus in us, then we're different. We're a new creation in Jesus. We don't think in the old ways. When we have Christ in us, we are changed. We think, we speak, we see, we feel, and we act like Jesus Christ. So we get to the gospel. Hopefully I won't be too long. There's just so much in here. First of all, this is a parable. And the Pharisees were one of the sons. Jesus' disciples were the other sons. Neither sons were perfect. But the point of the story is both are loved, both are welcomed by God, maybe not pleased, you know, maybe not pleasing to God because of the sin, but repentance brings forgiveness and love. So here we go. The tax collectors and the Pharisees and the scribes, they were all grumbling. Not something new, but they were grumbling because Jesus wasn't doing what they wanted Jesus to do. He was eating with sinners. Well, it's a good thing he does because that's what we are. We're eating with the Lord today. And he is eating with us. Thank God. So the parable starts out that the father has two sons. And the one son says, well, I want my share. Because he knows that the father's going to split. He's going to give this son so much and this son so much. Now the question is, whose is it to give? It's the Father. Just like God the Father gives to us. This son, us, we don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It's not ours, but it's a free gift from God. That's our salvation. That's what this is all about. Our salvation. So the son, he takes all of the money and the possessions. Remember, it's a story, it's an analogy, it's a parable. And so what does the younger son do? He takes it, and instead of staying and living within his father's presence, within his father's house, he goes and he takes everything that his father gave him, and he squanders it, and he sins, and he sins, and he sins, and he forgets about his father. So it didn't go too well. Because, of course, when we live outside of God's presence, when we sin, it really doesn't go too well for us. So it's the same story. So what happens? Well, he finds himself feeding pigs. Well, for this Jew, that was the worst thing imaginable. Because pigs aren't kosher. And not only that, but he was even willing to eat the food that were eating. And then something happened, because remember, he was not being loved. He was not being nurtured or cared for. He was not living within his father's kingdom or presence or house. So what happens? He came to himself. In other words, he finally realized, wow, you know, my dad loves me no matter what. Even though I, you know, sin, my father loves me. Wow, I have really messed up. So I'm going to return to my father, to his kingdom, to his house. Because he realized he sinned. So he says, I'm going to tell my father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Well, that's us. We are not worthy to be called the sons and daughters of our living God, but through Christ we are. So he gets on his way, and before he even could get to his father sees him. And his father, with his love and his compassion, runs to him and puts his arms around him and kisses him. And then his son was probably overwhelmed by the love and the greeting and the acceptance and the lack of rejection and anger. But he says, because he has come to his senses, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against you. And I am not any longer worthy to be called your son. Well, the father knew that the son had sinned. The father knew that the son was truly contrite and was repentant, because he turned around and came back to his father's home. Like with us, if we really change our ways and are sorry for our sins. So what happens? The father says, okay, to the slave, bring a robe, bring the best one, and put it on it. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And in other words, short story is, let's make a big celebration and a big banquet. Why? Not because the son sinned, but because the son has repented and come back, and has come back to his father. Now we have the other son, the rest of the group. Now this son has been faithful to the father, really good, following the commandments, obeying, you know, the father. But then envy, jealousy, and anger, which is just the same amount of sin as anything else, gets in his way. And he has a bad attitude. And he starts to argue with his father, because the slaves have told him, well, you know, we're going to celebrate because your brother is back. So he gets angry, and he refuses to even go into his father's home. And so the father hears about it, and the father loves him just as much as all of his children. And he says, listen, the son says to the father, because the father comes out. He says, listen, for all these years I've been working for you like a slave, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you haven't given me even a young goat. In other words, a party. You didn't even let me celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, notice that, when this son of yours, not his brother, this son of yours comes back, who has sinned because he's devoured his property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf and have a big party for him because he's come back? What the heck is wrong with you? And then the father says to him, he's probably hoping he comes to his senses too, son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost, but now he has been found. What God gives us should be enough. No matter what it is, we are to be content, knowing that no matter what we do, no matter how far away from God we stray, if we return to Him and are contrite and try to love and nurture others and ourselves like He nurtures us, that's all He asks. But what God gives us, it should be enough. There should be no jealousy, no anger, no comparing. Whatever God gives us, it is to be enough. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. It's not from something we've done or we do. It's only by the grace and loving gift of Jesus Christ that He gives us our salvation and His love and His forgiveness. And just to end, this whole lesson reminded me of a passage in Luke chapter 15. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, all of us, we know that we sin, we know that we fail you, and we just ask your forgiveness. We ask that you guide us, direct us, comfort us, encourage us, and we thank you that you love and forgive us and accept us as you do with all your children. And we just thank you for Jesus Christ, who gives us our salvation and makes you acceptable, or makes you accessible to us. In Jesus' name we pray.